Fridays for the reading of the Word of God. I appreciate the good singing. Singing is always a blessing to those that know the Lord. The right kind of singing. There's a wrong music in the world today. They claim to be gods, but it's very far from being godly. And so if it's not godly, I doubt very seriously that it's God. Amen. If something to belong to Him, it's got to be godly. Amen. And if it's otherwise, then it's certainly not of God. Amen. That's right. And you know, the Bible says we ought to mark them that walk contrary to sound doctrine and have no fellowship with them. That's right. I'm afraid we're far from biblical Christianity today. Very, very far indeed. Amen. All right. Song of Solomon, chapter number 5, please. And we'll read verse number 14. We'll not take time again today. We've read through this so many times. And unless the Lord changes my mind, if He feeds my soul on this like I think He's going to, we'll preach at least two more Sundays from this thought. And hopefully that it may accomplish in us the thought that I'm trying to convey to your heart. I hope that it will. There is a life that God's given that I do believe is far beyond what we're living today. We say we want revival, and we look at revival as beyond the normal, but revival is really normal Christianity. That's all it is getting to where we're supposed to be with God. And so revival is not something beyond what we ought to live. It's just getting to where we need to be for God. All right, Song of Solomon, chapter number 5. And I want to read verse number 14. His hands are as gold rings set with a beryl. His belly is as bright ivory overlaid with sapphires. Now may the Lord add His blessing to the reading of His Word this morning. Heavenly Father, I'm thankful for the song service that's moved my heart today and graced my soul. Thank You for Thy people that have come to worship God. I pray Your richest blessings upon them. Thank You, Lord, for the presence of the Holy Spirit. And You said when He has come, He will not speak of Himself, but that He would glorify Thee. And I pray, O Spirit of God, that this day You would magnify the Son of God before our eyes. Set forth in our midst as Him crucified, the hope of glory. And help us to glory in nothing save in the cross of our Lord Jesus. And may we each, Lord, be crucified to it, to the glory and honor of God. May Thy Word today as it goes out prick the hearts of unbelievers and save sinners. And bless Your people and help and strengthen, establish and settle the people of God. I pray for power to preach and liberty to do likewise. And we'll thank You and praise You for what is accomplished in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank You. And you may be seated. Again, the very last clause in verse number 14. Solomon writing under the inspiration of the Spirit of God. And describing the Lord Jesus, our heavenly bridegroom. And he says that His belly is as bright ivory overlaid with sapphires. Now, I want to preach this morning simply on the same thought last week, only part two, and preach on the thought Christ and His abundant life. Christ and His abundant life. If you'll recall in last week's message, I said that Christ's belly represents His seat of generation. It is that virtue of Him that gives life. John said in John 1 about Christ, he said, I'm come. No, he said, in Him is life, and that life is the light of men. And this belly overlaid with ivory speaks of that generated life that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. The ivory and the sapphires represent the wealth and the glory and the majesty or the majestic glory of that life that Christ gives. And when you combine both of those together, you have life and the riches of that life. And to you and I, it is that abundant life that we have in the Lord Jesus. In fact, he said in John 10:10, he said, "I am come that they might have life." Aren't you thankful for that this morning? That Christ came that sinners might have life. I'm afraid the trouble with our generation of lost people is they do not see themselves as being dead in trespasses and sin. And possibly the problem with the saved people of this generation is that we do not see ourselves alive and living who were dead in those trespasses and sins. But Jesus said, "I'm come that they might have life," and then he said that they might have it more abundantly. This life he offers to sinners, I said last week, is beyond measure. What measuring reed is there that can measure the glorious life that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ? What human on this earth could we measure Christianity to? There are none. Now I want to say to you this morning, if you measure your Christianity by another man, the Bible says that you are not wise. In other words, if you entertain the thinking that I'm just as good as old brother so-and-so, or I'm living just as clean a life as old sister so-and-so, the Bible said that is not wise. I try to set an example before you in holiness, but I want to say, my friend, if all you ever see is Gary Hall, you have missed what I would want to accomplish in your life through the preaching of the Word of God. We have got one measuring rod. We've got one example of holiness. One example of Christianity. And that is Christ Jesus and Him crucified and the hope of the world. And I don't know anybody in this building nor out of this building that can possibly measure up to the standard that has been set in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, a lot of folks go about spending all their life trying to measure up to the law and keep the law. Friend, there is a law of Christ that's been given that should be our standard bearer for this hour. And if you want to measure your life to somebody, measure it to the Lord, and I guarantee you, you'll see yourself very short of what God expects you and I to be in the Scripture. And if we'll ever do that, church, it'll enable us and help us to make a diligent search of our heart to see what sin may be there that is so easily besetting us and hindering us from running the race that God has set before us to run. Amen. Amen. Now, last Sunday, I preached on that abundant life in regards to answered prayer. No man can have an abundant life without having a real prayer life. It's an impossibility. And that's right. And this week, I want to look at it in another little angle and say that no man nor woman can have that abundant life or that glorious life on this earth now without the abundant power that comes from Almighty God. We've raised a generation that is ignorant concerning the power of God. I'm afraid we've got some other denominational friends that look at the power of God as being some mystical influence upon our heart that would allow us to maybe, should I say, speak in some foreign tongue or unknown tongue. And then we look at others that claim that the power of God is only to be had by a certain individuals, and namely preachers that stand in the pulpit and preach. But I want to say, my friend, that the power of God is available to every Christian.
And you cannot have an abundant life in God until, my friend, you have learned to appropriate that power of God that He's given us in our life, that we may walk with Him and all well-pleasing and bring glory to the name of the Son of God. I'll tell you about old Jacob now. Jacob wrestled with the angel of the Lord all night. Amen. And he walked away from that brook, obtaining both power with God and with men. And friend, that's the power that we need on our lives today. That we may have power with God, obtaining from God those necessary things of this life, and then having power with men that we might influence them for His honor and His glory. That we might impact the world around us, that they too, my friend, might desire to have in them what God's children have in them. Power to resist sin and walk a holy life for the glory of God. Amen. Abundant power. Oh, Brother Paul, in the book of Ephesians chapter 3 and verses 20 and 21. Amen. He said, "Now unto Him that is able." I'm glad God is able. Amen. Brethren, God is not dead. God's able. Amen. Oh, yes, sir. Somebody said, "But preacher, the world around us is very sinful." Yes, but where sin did abound, my friend, grace doth much more abound to a child of God. I'm glad God is able. You see, we're trying to accomplish, or we're trying to walk with God in the power and the merits of our own life. And that, my friend, is a foolish mistake. Paul said, "Now unto Him who is able." And he goes on to say, "to do exceeding abundantly above anything," mark these words, "that we may ask or think according to the power," there it is, "according to the power that worketh in us." That is, Christ is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above everything that we might ever ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. And friend, the power that's working in us is an abundant power, because it comes from the presence of an indwelling God that lives within our bosom. Amen. Unto Him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above anything that we might ever ask or think, unto Him be glory in the church, world without end. And when Paul finished saying that, he was right proud of what the Holy Ghost said, and he ran back and said, "Amen." That's right. I wonder where that power is today to repel the attacks of Satan, to resist the temptation to sin, power to overcome, and to walk worthy of our calling. Walk worthy of our calling. Walk well pleasing in the sight of God. Walk in conduct such a way that God is not ashamed to look down and say, "That's my son. That's my daughter." When he looked down at old Job, he wouldn't have been ashamed of Job. He said, "Have you considered my servant Job? Well, there's none like him in all the earth." I'm going to tell you why, friend. Job had a power. Jacob had a power. Jeremiah had a power. Ezekiel had a power. Daniel had a power. Paul had a power. The apostles had a power that most Baptists today know nothing about. Unto Him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above anything that we might ever ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Before I get into the message, I want to say three things about that. I want to say that the power is associated with prayer. Amen to God. Unto Him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above anything that we might ask. or think. Yes, hey, you have not because you ask not. Yes, when was the last time you prayed and asked God to give you power? Yes, oh, we don't all, we're not Pentecostals. I understand that, my friend. But John the Baptist, as a baby in his mother's womb, had enough power on him that when he heard the voice of Mary, he leaped in Elizabeth's womb for the power of God that was up on him. That's right. And by the way, it wasn't John the Pentecostal either. It's John the Baptist. Amen. I'm not ashamed to be a Baptist. I had a man to call me. I guess it was Friday night. And said, a preacher down here told me you was a Baptist brighter. I said, well, what is one of them? And if you can tell me, I'll tell you whether I am or not. He said, well, the preacher told me this, said, they believe only Baptists is going to heaven. I said, well, that rules me out. Because I don't even believe many of them are going.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you who's going to heaven. Saved folks. Been to Calvary. Obtained the power to walk godly in this world, my friend. And resist the devil and his temptation that he might cast in our presence to trip us up. I said, no, I don't guess I'm a Baptist brother. And he said, well, what would you be if you wasn't a Baptist? I said, ashamed of myself. I'm saved by grace. I am a Baptist by conviction. I believe that Bible teaches doctrine, or I believe the Baptists hold to that Bible as close as any denomination I know. But no, I'm not a Baptist brother. I believe anybody saved is going to heaven if they've been saved, been born again. But they ain't going to heaven believing that baptistry is going to get them there. And they ain't going to heaven believing speaking in a tongue is getting them there. And they ain't going to heaven believing baptized in Jesus' name is going to get them there. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Oh, how I got off on all that. I want to say again, my friend, that this power is associated with prayer. He said, ask anything they might ever ask. And you're not going to obtain this power. And you've heard the story, and I'm not going to tell it all, about the summer in Greenville, South Carolina, buddy. One night at Greer Baptist Camp Meeting changed my life. All summer long, under a pine tree at Donnie Glass's home in Greenville, South Carolina, changed my life and changed my ministry. Why? I'm going to tell you why. It was there for the first time in my life, in an old-fashioned Baptist camp meeting, that I knelt in sawdust and ashes, my friend. And there I called upon God, and He empowered me with the power of the Holy Ghost that had been working in my bosom.
Amen.
Hallelujah. It's associated with prayer. Anything you might ever ask, get this now. Or think. Not only associated with prayer, but it's connected to meditation. When was the last time you just sat down and meditated on holy things? You'd sit down some Saturday night and just meditate on the cross and the redemptive work of Christ. I'll guarantee you, when you come to church on Sunday morning, you'd be on fire. Meditate. Ask or think. Think. What are we thinking about today? What's that verse about they whose minds are stayed upon the Lord? I believe that's talking about thinking, meditating on Him. What thoughts run through our mind 24 hours a day? By the way, I appreciate you men praying. Second Saturday night in a row of slept goods. Only two nights in the last month I've slept goods on two Saturday nights. Amen. God's good to me. Didn't wake up all night long. What about that? Do you thank God? Well, we prayed. We asked God to help me sleep, and bless God, He helped me sleep. Meditate. You know what the psalmist said? Psalm 39:3 said, "My heart was hot within me." Some we need to get a hot heart at Island Ford Bevel. My heart was hot within me while I was musing the fire burn. Son, when was the last time you got alone with God and thought about Him and let the fire burn down in your soul? While I was musing, the fire burned. Old Jeremiah said, I just, in so many words, he said, I swore I'd never mention His name again. I'd never preach another message. I'd never stand before that stiff-necked, hard-hearted crowd and try to tell them about the goodness of God ever again. But he said that, he said the Word of God was like a fire burning down in my bones, son. I'm here to tell you, hallelujah to God. Over the past week, I've been amusing on God, and it's like a fire burning in my bones. And I just can't stay. I've got to tell somebody about Christ and about the marvelous love of Calvary. There is a balm in Gilead. There is a sympathizer in Zion. There is one who's able to save unto the uttermost and then work in you, my friend, an exceeding great and glorious power that will help you to have an abundant life in this world. That's right. Then the third thing, this power that he talks about, the power that's working according to the power that worketh. You know what that word worketh means? It means it's working. And it's not stagnant. A power that worketh in us. It means it's active. Always working. Somebody said it ain't working in me, get born again and it will. Amen, Brother Shelby. Get born again and will. According to the power that worketh in us. Somebody said, now preacher, I've never received that power. I thought you just nodded your head and said you'd been to Calvary. For the power that worketh in us is the indwelling Holy Ghost of God, my friend, that God gives to every believer. What? Know you not that you've been sealed with the Holy Ghost until the day of redemption? Son, I'm glad I can say that He which hath begun a good work, well, Brother Hall, in you will perform it. There's that work. There's that work of working. Not just work, oh my, what a thought. There's the work working. We'll perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He that hath begun a good work in you will perform it. There's work working. Now that's amazing, huh? Work doing the work. I wish we had some work around here that'd do work. That way we could loaf a little more. Work. Working in us. That work is the Spirit of God, friend, that is actively working in our bosom. He is the power. Oh, my, would to God we could get a hold of that. Son, there is a dynamo a rolling in our soul that's a producing a power that is exceedingly abundantly above anything that you and I may ever ask or think. Oh, yes, sir. Now, don't leave me. I'm getting right into the message. This power is an enabling power. It will enable us in certain areas of our life. Listen to what Brother Paul said again in 2 Timothy 1:12. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that He counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Somebody said, oh, that's a preacher, but you've got the same Holy Ghost in you that Paul had. Now I'm here to tell you there is an enabler in you this morning, friend. Paul's saying here, I couldn't preach. I was a blasphemer, a persecutor, injurious. But because I did it ignorantly, he said, I obtained mercy. Hallelujah to God. And he said, I was unable to accomplish this But God has enabled me, and I'm here to tell you, friend, that power that's working in you will enable you to live an abundant life. I mean, a life beyond measure to the glory of God. Woo. Son, He'll swell you up and run out of you somewhere if you will let Him. I've seen Him run out of folks' eyes. Ooh. I've seen Him run out of their mouth. Whoopee! I've seen Him run out their face. I'm trying, boy. I'm a-trying. Amen! He'll put a smile on your face and a tear in your eye and joy in your heart, a spring in your step. Glory to God. He'll give you a life that's worth living. Lift you out of the muck and the mire. Set you on a rock. Establish your goings, my friend. What a God. Ooh. This work, this enables us. I'm going to say it enables us to walk with God. To walk with God.
Amen.
Enoch walked with God. Some fellow said yesterday, or Friday on the radio, Enoch. I thought there were many talking about one of them Enunches. Fellow Brother Rains in chapter 8 of the book of Acts got up and preached on Ethiopian Enoch. But Enoch walked with God and was not. Noah walked with God and was perfect in all of his generations. God told Abraham, said, Abram, walk before me, for I am thy exceeding great reward. I'm here to tell you, friend, we can, there is a power that'll enable us to walk with God. We don't have to be browbeat by the devil. We don't have to cow down by the harassment from the world, or as the New English Version is, harassment. I say harassment, you can say whatever you want to say. So can that crowd. They all lost anyway. They don't know anything about English. They went to Harvard. It's wicked today. Amen. So's all them other places. Praise God, that's right. But hey, that power that's a-working will enable you to walk with God. Don't leave me now. You can walk changed. Has there been a change? Has God really changed you? Then if God has started a work and changed you, that power that's working in you will enable you to walk that life that reveals the change in you. Oh, the songwriter said, oh, there's really been a change in me. Woo! Old Billy Kelly said, yesterday I went back to the place where I used to live. Hallelujah. There's some old places where I don't go anymore. And there are some places where I do go that I didn't used to go. Hallelujah. You can find me down at the church house. I'm a church nut. I like to come and sing the old hymns of Zion. Praise God. Preach the Word of God and talk about the Lord that loved me and died in the place. Now listen carefully. Romans 6:4. Therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism into death. Have you died?
Amen.
Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Christ.
Amen.
And things that are crucified and dead, friend, you don't let them lay on a walk around or lay on top of the ground. You bury them.
Amen.
That's what happened when I baptized you. It's a picture of you dying. That old man is dead. And I don't give a flip what dollar box the bottle shopper says. Adam is a dead goose in you if you're saved.
Amen. That's right.
When you preach otherwise than that, you give Baptists the right to sin against God and go on that way. That's why that young lady in North Carolina spent 3.5 years, friend, in adultery, and she's going right on serving God. I'm going to tell you why. To her and to them, Adam's still alive and kicking. Just a little old misgiving. I'm going to tell you what it is. It's rebellion against God. It's Adam still alive. It's sin in the members. It's ungodly inbred sin that has never been dealt with before God.
Amen.
won't charge you nothing for that. Huh? Buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk. Walk enables us to walk. How, Brother Paul? In newness of life. And that word newness simply means renewal. It means a regenerated life. Son, I'm telling you, that's that abundant life. Oh, that's that life that got us out of the hell holes, eh? Men to God off the bar stools, eh? Men out of the drug tanks, out of the jail. That's the kind of newness of life that dried up a cussing mouth and a vulgar tongue. Oh, yes, that's the kind of life that'll take an old harlot and put her at the feet of Jesus and let her worship God in spirit and in truth. I thank God that we can walk in that newness of life. Change, friend. God changed me. I wouldn't brag on it, but if you don't believe me, go ask Miss Hall. She'll tell you. Ask my youngins if there's any difference in Hall. Buddy, I'm glad. I was in such a pitiful shape, son. I was a stealing kerosene, a gallon in a can, just trying to keep my family warm. Pitiful, ain't it? Pitiful. But oh, I'm going to tell you, when Jesus passed by that day, and I was polluted in my own blood in the field, and He said, live. And the Holy Ghost came on the inside and said, stand up on your own two feet. We are walking in another direction. Amen. Oh, man, He said, turn this rig around, son. Amen. You are headed for home. Do you like to get headed for home, Brother Andy? You like to turn that rig around and head for home, Jerome? Yes, sir, when you hit the end of the line. That's where I was at the end of the line. But the Holy Ghost turned me around and, oh yes, and headed me for home. And now heaven bound with a hammer down. Hallelujah to God. Woo! A walking with God, a walking with God, a walking with God. Walking changed. And I won't say inside and out. Yes, sir. I got to hurry. It's getting late. Not only walk and change, but I'm going to tell you, He'll enable you to walk circumspectly. I'm going to say, what do you mean, sir? I'm talking about walking cautiously. Being careful. Don't get yourself into a snare, friend. Don't get your life in a pickle. A lot of folks that are saved, I'm afraid they don't listen to the voice of God nor the Bible nor preaching, and they'll wind up in a pickle. Amen. Here's what Brother Paul said in Ephesians 5:15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. You better walk circumspectly. We're living in an evil day, friend. That's right. You better keep your eyes wide open all the time. That's right. That word means to be watchful. It means to examine carefully every circumstance of your life. Every decision you make in life. Sudden weigher in the balances. Examine that thing out. Make sure you're making the right judgment and the right decision. It means to. It will help you if you're walking circumspectly. You will not. Come in the house a minute. You will not visit places that will disgrace your Christian life. Amen. You will not wear clothing that disgraces Christ. Amen. You will not speak words that disgrace His name. Are you listening to me? I'm going to be quite honest with you. If you walk in circumspectly, you will avoid the unfruitful works of darkness. You cannot walk with God and run with that crowd that'll turn right around and blaspheme Him. Amen. You know what? I just heard the other day an individual individual made a statement.
Said, I'd rather die and go back down to that place.
May have just signed his death warrant.
That's right, amen.
I'm going to charge you a thing for that.
Amen.
You are not wise, friend, to fellowship with that crowd that blasphemes the house of God, or blasphemes the holy God, or blasphemes the man of God that God's put in that place.
Walk circumspectly. I want to say walk correctly. Boys, it's gotten quiet now, praise God. We've lost our shout. Walk correctly. Paul said in Thessalonians 3:11, for we hear, he said, that there are some which walk among you disorderly. Working not at all, but are busybodies. Hey, some folks, that all they do is spend their time running their tongues, popping their gums and batting their lips. Busybodies. Minding everybody else's business. God, help us to take care of our own business. I'm just going to throw this out at you, and I love you, I won't charge you nothing. But if folks of the church would mind their own business, they would not have time to always be trying to mind the business of somebody else. Amen. Amen. Amen, Brother Hall. Take care of you and your family, and let somebody else's family take care of theirs. Huh? Now, I believe I can tell you this. I caught about five of them little boys back there in the back last week, running, jumping over tables and everything else. I didn't lay a hand on them boys. I caught some of the same crowd out there breaking glass up on the thing last night. I didn't lay a hand on them boys. I've got my own problem. That's your business, friend. When your young'uns walk disorderly, it's time for you to put the hammer on them.
Amen.
Come on in the house, children. Look, it's good preaching, Brother Doug, if folks are there. I'm just simply saying that the power that works in us will want us to have a correct, orderly, arranged life, living in all godly manner and holy conversation, and our manners ought to be that which becometh the saints of God.
Amen.
And we ought to teach our children to be mannerly and have some manners.
Amen.
Amen. It goes beyond yes, sir, and no, ma'am, too. I won't charge nothing for that, ma'am. I better get off of that. I see some faces getting long. I better hurry. That power that works in us enables us to walk with God.
Amen.
That power that works in us enables us to witness for God.
Amen.
But you shall receive power.
Amen.
After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you.
Amen.
And you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. I wonder when was the last time some of us witnessed to somebody. Oh, preacher, I can't. Hear me now. Listen, I'm not scolding you. There was a time when I couldn't. That's why I'm preaching this. There isn't a power. There is an abundant life that will give you an abundant power that you can look in a sinner's face with a heart of love and say, sir, there was a time in my life when I lived just exactly like you. May I tell you about it? If it just take a minute of your time, I lived exactly like you. I was estranged from God, away from the fold, a sinner of sinners. I wasn't a bit. I'm going to tell you what's happened to most folks when they try to witness to somebody. They try to paint a picture that they're holier than thou and better than everybody else. Rather than identifying with them people. Let them know that, hey, I used to be just like you. But God's given me a life that is far better than that now. That's the life I want you to have.
Amen.
Huh? That's right, ain't it? He'll give you a power to witness, son. Now look here. God's not a liar. He cannot lie. You know the problem with some of you, somebody said, preacher, I got the Holy Ghost in me. Yeah, but you ain't never got Him on you. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Now you can call me whatever you want to call me. But here's where I got to line up with old Uncle Bud Robson, some of them Nazarenes, and
some of our Pentecostal friends. There is a baptism of power. What did the disciples say in Acts chapter 1 right before Jesus quoted that verse 8? They said, "Lord, will you at this time restore unto us the kingdom?" And Jesus said, "Fellas, when I take care of that, is my business. You all, don't you even worry about that." But he said, "But here's what I want you to be concerned with. But you shall receive power." I'm here to tell you, we're worried about everything under the sun.
Amen.
Did he not say in the same chapter, "But you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence"? Somebody said, "Well, that was..." Now, the universal fellows try to tell me that's when the church started on the day of Pentecost, and that's when all those disciples received the Holy Ghost. What are you going to do about John 20 when Jesus said, "Receive you the Holy Ghost"? And the breath of God does, my friend, typify the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Them cloven tongues of fire on them wasn't the Holy Ghost in them. It was the Holy Ghost on them, son. And that tongue, look here, that tongue represented the power they had to witness of a resurrected Christ, my friend, that came, died, paid the sin debt, and rose again the third day. And they were fiery tongues. Buddy, I like that.
Amen.
Somebody said, "I like an orator in the pulpit. I like a fiery tongue, red face, slobbered mouth, blessed God preacher."
Amen.
He enables us to walk with God, enables us to witness for God. He'll enable us to wait upon His coming. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 1, 9 and 10, "For they themselves show unto us what manner of interim we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and the true God, and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come." Somebody said, "Well, Brother Hall, everybody is waiting for Him." Oh, no, 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 no. You've done missed a boat.
Amen.
Sitting on a church pew don't really... Or sitting at home this morning watching Awful Roberts on TV.
Amen.
Does not mean, friend, that you're waiting on Him to come back. Just because you say you're waiting doesn't mean you're waiting. I'm going to tell you who's waiting on Him. Those that are watching.
Amen. Amen.
"Be watchful, therefore, for the Lord may come in a day when you know not."
Amen.
People that's watching.
Yes,
I'm going to tell you, folks, that's waiting on Him. "For every man that hath this hope in Him," in Him.
Amen.
In Him.
Amen.
John 3, in Him. Every man that hath this hope in Him. What hope? Hope He's coming. What's that man do? Purifies himself, even as He is pure. I'm going to tell you who's waiting on Him. Them people that's purifying themselves. Striving for holiness. I was trying to show the men last night that old Methodist in there believed in a bridehood company of saints. You know, then he believed that the bride was a group that had excelled in holiness.
Amen.
I'm going to have to say one thing for that much old-time Methodist, buddy. They believed in a holy life.
Amen.
I don't have much confidence in somebody's salvation, friend, that is not striving to be holy and to live holy.
Amen.
But that power will enable you just to keep watching.
Amen.
Keep laboring. Keep striving.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Waiting on Him.
Very
quickly now. Very quickly. That power will not only enable us, but it'll equip us.
Amen.
Ephesians 6, 10, 11. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might."
Amen.
"Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil."
Amen.
Now look here. If that power... Come on in the house a minute now. Don't leave me. If that power, that abundant power, is working in us, it equips us to stand. What about these people that are just overcome by sexual lust, fleshly emotions?
They didn't stand, friend. Where's that power? I'm going to tell you something. I'm not, but I'm close to a perfectionist.
Amen.
And I'm going to explain to you what I mean by that. If a child of God can knowingly, if a person can knowingly wallow in sin and at the same time profess Christ, they've never been to Calvary.
Amen.
You'll never convince me of that. You're going to tell me, friend, that somebody can live a life of sin? I had a preacher told her, preacher made a statement one time. He said, I believe a man can walk in the church drunk, profess Christ, get saved, leave drunk, and never draw a sober breath and go to heaven. I'm going to tell you what. Son, somebody's missed a boat, neighbor. That power will equip you to stand. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power. What we stand in, it's not your armor, it's His. Put on. It's provided by God. The helmet of salvation. Amen. The breastplate of righteousness. The loins girt with truth. Feet prod with the preparation of God. That's all God's armor. It's not yours. Put it on. It's His. Stand in Him. That's the power that's working in us. That's the power that's working in us. Stand in that. God provides it. Hallelujah. And I'll say in closing, His power, that power I'm talking about, will not only enable us and equip us, but it'll endue us.
Amen.
Luke 24:19, Jesus said, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you.
Amen.
But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high.
Amen.
Well, Andy, you know what that word endued means? It means the sense of sinking into another garment. Sinking into another garment to be invested with. Just slide down in the righteousness of Christ.
Amen.
And in the power of His might.
Amen.
That you might withstand all the fiery darts of the wicked.
Amen.
Abundant life. Answered prayer.
Amen.
And abundant power.
Amen.
I've come that you might have life and that you might have it.
Yes.
More abundantly.
Amen.
Let's stand together, please. God spoke in your heart. I've enjoyed trying to preach to you the last 2 weeks. I don't know if you've got a thing out of it, but I'm telling you that there's many, 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 many in this church that know nothing about that abundant life I'm talking about. And folks, it's not something mystical. It's not something superhuman that we can't have. It's a gift from God. And it's based upon His promise. I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Just a simple promise from the Scripture. Now, how do we obtain that promise? Answered prayer, ask, and shall receive. That's simple. That is simple Bible. Things, that book is so profound and yet so simple if we just look at it and meditate on it and trust it. God's dealt with your heart. What are we going to sing, Brother George? 304. Father, thank you for the hour. I pray you'll bless your people in Jesus' name. Amen. As we sing 304. Would you let Him have His way in your heart? Your life today. Just a minute now, we'll sing one more verse. I want to say this to you. That abundant life will make your marriage much happier. It'll make your home much more peaceful. It'll make your Christian life much more enjoyable. It'll make the Word of God much sweeter. It'll make death admirable and heaven worth it all. And I still say, and I'll say it again, that there's some marriages in this room right now that if you don't get some help from God, you're in big trouble. You're in big trouble, friend. I love you. And I'm telling you, it's like the nose on Pinocchio's face. You better hear what I'm saying. You're not around here much. I'm going to tell you what drains your joy is your life around the house. What goes on in your family, what goes on in your home, what goes on the other 6 days a week is what drains Christians. It's not what goes on here, buddy. It's what goes on 6 other days a week in your family. Better get a hold of it. Somebody said, which one of the young couples is it? Might be an old couple. Did you know that I think the highest rate amongst divorcees anymore is in the 50s? Are you listening? Why don't you let God have His way in your heart today and humble yourself and admit, my joy, my life stinks. And I need something from God. Let's sing one more verse, Brother George. On the second.